OTC right after the
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 4 days away from the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. 24 teams have been drawn into six groups of four each for the opening round. Group F features Tunisia, the 2004 Nations Cup champion, Mali, the 1972 Nations Cup runners-up, Gambia, which is making its Nations Cup debut, and Mauritania, which is making only its second Nations Cup appearance. For analysis of Group F, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya, David Kwalimwa.
I expect perennial campaigners Tunisia and Mali to dominate Group F at the Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon starting January 9th, 2022. Reason being Tunisia and Mali have been, other than being perennial campaigners in this tournament, they also have experience and exposure with well-known players competing all over in the world. Just to mention a few, Mali have the likes of Yves Bissouma. You know him from his exploits at Brighton in the English Premier League alongside Adama Traore, who plays for Wolves in the same English Premier League, Moussa Marega as well, and Ibrahima Kone are some of the players that Mali will be banking on at this tournament. Tunisia are the highest ranked team in this group as per the FIFA rankings. Looking at it, Tunisia not only favorites to get out of this group, but also contenders possibly to lift their second ever Africa Cup of Nations title. Remember, they lifted it in 2004. When the tournament was hosted in Tunisia, when they hosted the tournament. So Tunisia among the teams to watch in this tournament alongside the likes of Youssef Msakni and Saif Jaziri and Naib Bashiri, who plies his trade in Saudi Arabia, with some of the players to watch out for. Within the Mali outfit, there is Yves Bissouma. You will know him from his exploits at Brighton in the English Premier League alongside Ibrahima Kone, Moussa Marega, and Adama Traore. Adama Traore as well is based in England at Wolves. So,
some football analysts tip Tunisia, the North African Giants, as the favorites to top the group. What's your take on this?
On face value, I expected Tunisia to not have very much problems getting out of this group. Alongside Mali, who also have had a very good recent year. Remember them in the World Cup qualification matches. They went through their group that included Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda. Went through almost eight games without conceding a goal, and did go on to top the group without breaking much sweat.
Do you also think that Mauritania and Gambia can be spoilers against Tunisia or Mali in the group?
I don't expect Gambia and Mauritania to dominate at all in this pool. They are well down the pecking order in the FIFA rankings and have not been at this stage for quite some time. As well, they lack the players who can really challenge in this tournament. Well, miracles do happen in football, but as it is right now, Mauritania with only two appearances in the Africa Cup of Nations in their history and Gambia with only one appearance will really struggle to compete against the likes of Tunisia and Mali, considering what we've just discussed earlier as the strengths of these other teams.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi. Group F Nations Cup action will kick off on January 12th, when the feathers will surely be flying in Limbe, Cameroon. That's where the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia will take on the Eagles of Mali in the opening group match. And that will be followed by a match between Mauritania and Gambia also in Limbe.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The chairman, Christian Chukwu, was a defender during his playing days, and he captained Nigeria to its first Nations Cup trophy in 1980 when the team beat Algeria 3-0 in the final in Lagos. Samson Omale joins us now with a spicy package of Nations Cup news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. It's barely 4 days to the start of the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon. And for many football fans in Yaoundé, where the host nation is set to play the opening game of the tournament, obtaining tickets for the games has become anything but a nightmare. Officials of the local organizing committee has assured that tickets for the 2021 African matches will be on sale on Wednesday. Fans who have been visiting designated sales points in Yaoundé on Tuesday expressed disappointment over their inability to obtain their match tickets.
I had to take one ticket for the stadium, but when I arrived here, the security told me that the tickets are not available.
Since yesterday, we tried to find a ticket, and they tell us that we have to come after. This is the second day that we try to find it. So we don't know where we have to find the ticket, because yesterday we were at Fitafoot, but we don't find.
Michel Mbaraga Diseke is the director of tournament for AFCON 2021. He gives an update on ticket sales.
Anytime from now, we're going to give the link, and the ticket will be bought online. Not only you have to have a negative PCR test, also, vaccination is required.
Mbaga also speaks on fan zones and other preparations ahead of the games.
Fan zones are found in host cities. CAF headquarters will be in Douala. 2 days, 3 days, you will see all the cities will be transformed. All the hotels are set. The 64 referees invited for the competition are already in Cameroon.
Staying with preparations for the AFCON 2021 in the highlands of Western Cameroon, it's a center for Bamileke tribal culture and traditional crafts such as wood carving. The city will host Group B matches that include teams from Senegal, Zimbabwe, Guinea, and Mali. Governor of the West Region of Cameroon, Okafunka Augustin, says the Stade de Kouakong, Bafoussam, as well as other facilities are ready for AFCON.
We are ready. In terms of infrastructure, the main stadium is there, completed, homologated. Matches are already been played on that pitch. The training grounds are there in their numbers. I emphasize on this point that the teams that will be coming to Bafoussam, they will be very, very comfortable. Comfortable with the playing grounds, comfortable with the lodging facilities, comfortable with the airport, comfortable with the medical package.
Cameroon Minister of Transport Jean-Ernest Masanga visited the Bafoussam Airport earlier this week. The minister said they are ready to receive CAF delegates, officials and teams through the Bafoussam Airport shortly after inspecting facilities at the airport.
We are very, very proud of what we did here in this airport. We realized that all our recommendations were put in place.
And staying with transportation-related stories, in Cameroon, the local taxi union is issuing special badges to taxi drivers in all the cities hosting the AFCON marches, as well as revalidating their membership to reassure visitors of their safety. Brudel Jordan Samen, who is coordinating the recertification and accreditation of the taxi drivers, said there will be zero tolerance for defaulters who go against laid-down rules and procedure in transporting visitors during the AFCON.
Those taxi drivers who do not have all their papers confirmed, every taxi driver has his or her own personal number. It contains also the number of his national ID card, the number of his driving license and his capacity. The hierarchy have put in place sanctions for them.
Staying with the African Cup of Nations, host Cameroon are in Group A alongside Burkina Faso, Ethiopia and Cape Verde, and they begin their campaign against the Burkinabe on the opening day of the Nations Cup on the 9th of January. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon now have a full squad of 28 players in camp following the late arrivals of skipper Vincent Abubakar and midfielder Andre James Lee Siliki. The indomitable Lions last won the competition in 2017 and are bidding for their sixth continental crown. Nahu Tolu, indomitable Lions defender, speaks of their desire as a team to host and win the tournament.
It's a dream for me. Everybody want to play the African Cup, especially at home. So I'm very happy. I'm very proud to be to the squad. So I know it's a very big pressure of me. We have a very big collective. Now we need to keep going, train hard, be humble and stay focused to play the final.
To West Africa, where pre-tournament favorites Senegal head to Cameroon for the African Cup of Nations with an added pressure after President Macky Sall told Sadio Mane's side on Tuesday to, quote, bring us the cup. Senegal have twice reached the final in 2000 and 2019, but have yet to win the continental title. President Sall told staff and players at the presidential palace that the Lions of Senegal are the best tactically, technically and qualitatively, reason why he believes winning the AFCON is a must for the Lions of Senegal. The Lions, led by Liverpool striker Mane and Senegal goalkeeper Edouard Mendy, will face Zimbabwe in Group B on the 10th of January, followed by matches against Guinea and Malawi. Staying with West Africa, Gambia are facing a setback in their preparations at their first African Cup of Nations after they were refused permission to replace players who have tested positive for COVID-19. Gambia's coach Tom Senfeld did not specify how many of his squad were affected, but said the Confederation of African Football, CAF, had refused Gambia's request to replace several players.
We asked that last week, and the answer was no. They said you have 28 people, there must be enough alternatives in this group of 28. Naturally, one person would be not the problem, would be an individual catastrophe, because all of us, we want to go to AFCON. But according to the current rule, we are not allowed to replace anyone in this final list of 28 anymore. And that's a little bit strange. I can imagine that we are not the only team who has these problems with COVID numbers and everything. I hear also that Ghana, even Algeria, have a lot of positive COVID cases, but also probably other countries we are not aware of yet. So maybe, and we hope so, that CAF still give us the opportunity to make the necessary changes if needed.
Gambia, currently preparing in Qatar, cancelled their two warm-up matches against Algeria last Saturday and Syria on Wednesday due to their unavailability of 16 of their 28 players. Gambia will face Mauritania in their opening group match on the 12th of January before meeting Mali and Tunisia. And staying with COVID-related African update, 4 days ahead of the African Cup of Nations, Tunisia announced on Tuesday that a second player in their squad, Saifedean Jazri, had tested positive for COVID-19. On Monday, the Tunisian Football Federation revealed that midfielder Yusuf Sakini had also tested positive. Jazri was top scorer at the Arab Cup in Qatar in December, scoring 4 goals as Tunisia reached the final where they lost 2-0 to Algeria. And now to Ghana, where players of the Black Stars who were named in the final squad for the 2021 African Cup of Nations were still arriving camp as at Wednesday, 5 days before their African Cup of Nations opening match on Monday, January 10th against Morocco. That situation has infuriated a management committee member of the Black Stars, Samuel Kafoe, who blamed it on CAF for disrespecting her own competition. CAF had earlier approved that players in the European League could hold on to their players until 7 days to the start of a competition, following a request to the African football governing body by FIFA. Kafoe, who played for Bayern Munich and was a prominent defender in the Black Stars squad during his playing days, said the decision by CAF shows a total disregard for the competition.
I think it was a wrong approach from CAF, in my opinion. Everybody has opinion. Everybody is entitled to speak whatever he wants to say or she wants to say. But for me, I think it's a totally disrespect to most of the African nation, because in Europe, where there's a rules and regulation, they will not abuse it. So why are they doing this to our tournament? And for us, as an African, this is the World Cup for us. And everybody just really love to see this tournament. So if a journalist from Europe asks why is the player going to African Cup of Nations? I think it's totally disrespect. They have to also respect our opinion and respect our tournament, because you cannot say this to South American tournament. Yeah. Why are you saying this to us?
The West African country has been preparing in Doha for the 33rd edition of the continent's most prestigious tournament.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. The Black Stars of Ghana are four-time Nations Cup champions, but it's been 40 years since the team last lifted the trophy.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Cameroon has deployed troops and armored cars to towns that will be hosting Nations Cup matches in its troubled southwest region. Anglophone separatists in the area have been threatening to disrupt the competition. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Residents of Cameroon's southwest region towns of Boya and Limbe say in the past 2 weeks, there has been a noticeable increase in troops and military trucks on the streets. The troubled southwest region is one area of Cameroon that will be hosting Africa's top soccer championship, the Africa Football Cup of Nations, AFCON. 21-year-old University of Boya student Fabrice Tobi says security in the city is becoming watertight. He spoke to VOA Wednesday via a messaging application.
I was surprised with the amount of armored cars and the troops entering Boya with the ones that were already there. It's very difficult to leave from one area to the other in the city of Boya without meeting military or security man. In markets and even in student residential areas, they are everywhere. They do the control. It's very difficult for you leaving your house without being checked or controlled.
Cameroon's military confirmed that troops have been deployed to Boya and Limbe to protect football players, officials and fans for the tournament. A spokesman declined to comment on the number of troops and armored vehicles deployed. The southwestern towns will host group matches for teams from Gambia, Mali, Mauritania and Tunisia. Anglophone separatists fighting in Cameroon's west to break away from the majority French-speaking nation have vowed to disrupt the games. Tapang Ivo, a spokesperson for the separatist group Ambazonia Defense Forces, ADF. He says the ADF has warned the Confederation of African Football that AFCON matches should not take place in the towns as the group is still fighting there with government troops.
We vow to fight Cameroon military anywhere they are present in the entire territory of Ambazonia, whether it's during the AFCON games that we've banned or after, we will continue to fight them tooth and nail. So we are avoiding a situation where visitors will be caught in this crossfire. So we are advising that AFCON must not hold in Ambazonia for the security concerns of visitors. They shouldn't be present where there is a war going on.
Within the past 2 months, Boya has reported at least 6 attacks by separatist fighters. The rebels took responsibility for November and December bombings at the University of Boya and the town's Great Sopo Market that wounded at least 14 people. The governor of Cameroon's southwest region, Bernard Okalia Bilai, says civilians should report any rebel suspects hiding in their community.
We have been preparing to make the event historic in the southwest region. We continue to sensitize the population, particularly towards vigilant. Well, you know what happened in Great Sopo Market? It is the population themselves who sees the back and they call the gendarme to come and destroy it. That's the behavior, action we are expecting from the population.
Bilai says residents and visitors should not be afraid of the separatist threats. He says the separatists made similar threats when Limbe and Boya hosted matches of the African Nations Championship a year ago without incident. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization
and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
Francis Tiafo will be one of the top American players competing at the Australian Open Tennis Tournament, which begins January 17th. Now, one of the top stories from Australia involves world number one Novak Djokovic. He's received a medical exemption to enter the country and defend his men's singles title at the Australian Open. The decision has angered many Australians. Djokovic has not revealed his COVID-19 vaccination status, and he previously said he was not sure whether he would compete in Australia. Craig Gabriel reports from Sydney, Australia.
Novak Djokovic should be taking his place in the draw for the Australian Open after getting his medical exemption, and the response in Australia has been negative. And while it's fine to voice an opposing view to a decision in a sane manner, but what has been lost time and again is the fact that people with little knowledge of the situation and probably less understanding of how the system works are blaming Tennis Australia and the Australian Open when they have no say in the decision-making that got Djokovic a medical exemption. It's also a case of them not wanting to accept the umpire's decision. In this case, two independent review panels of medical experts appointed by the government and who do the reviews, not knowing who the individual is, as all references to the person are removed. For Djokovic, the next few weeks are going to be a test of his mental strength because he's likely to face hostility from fans when he plays. But to what's actually happening on the courts and at the ATP Cup in Sydney, Greece has beaten Georgia by winning the two singles. Stefanos Tsitsipas was up 4-1 when Nicolas Basilashvili retired injured. Poland swept aside Argentina 3-0 and Chile beat Norway 2-1. In Adelaide, world number one Ash Barty has come back against Coco Gauff. This was their second meeting and for Barty, her first win. She was down a set and a break before advancing 4-6, 7-5, 6-1.
Yeah, I'm not really ever one to get overexcited, but I was certainly really, really happy to be able to have an opportunity tonight to go out there and just see where my level was at. Once we got here and warmed up, it was nice to kind of fall straight back into that routine of preparing for a match and hearing the crowd when we walked out there. It was going to be a lot of fun tonight, and I think all in all, really, really happy with how we played, the level that we started with, and we'll just continue to try and grow and get better each and every match and each and every opportunity.
Second seed Arina Sabalenka had a horror day. She hit 18 double faults. Even I can't do that. And she was beaten by Kaya Juvan 7-6, 6-1. And even the third seed crashed out. Maria Sakkari lost to Shelby Rogers 7-6, 2-6, 6-4. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Sydney.
Thanks, Craig. Craig mentioned how defending men's champion Novak Djokovic is likely to face hostility in Australia over his medical exemption. Let's sample some reaction from some Aussie fans.
I think it's a disgrace. We've all done the right thing. We've all gone out and got our jabs and our boosters, and we have someone that's come from overseas, and all of a sudden he's been exempt and can play, and I think it's an absolute disgrace, and I won't be watching it.
I'm a Melbourne boy, but I'm travelling from overseas, and I can sort of just pick up the sort of enmity and sort of aggression towards him. So I guess he might even get booed when he gets up onto the court.
Well, we just actually relocated from the US, and we did have to do the 2 weeks quarantine in Sydney. And even before that, hearing there was some exemptions for others and there was for other people. And I suppose whilst I support the Australian Open and the money it generates for the city and everything like that, I really don't agree with there being one rule for one and another rule for others. So I feel that there should be some, he shouldn't be allowed to come. It's his choice not to be vaccinated, which is fine. And it's, I think the government here has made the choice that, you know, you should be vaccinated.
If it's reasonable, if he has actual medical problems with that. But if he's just saying that to get in and doesn't have actual reason for it. I guess that's a little bit more iffy, especially if he's coming to Victoria where everyone's, you know, has to abide by the same regulations. So I think the sports star should kind of have the same kind of things that we have.
He's a champion. He's a true champion tennis player and has been for years and years. And all of a sudden he's been exempt because he's got some medical condition. So he's been playing for all these years with a so-called medical condition, which I don't understand. So I won't be watching.
I don't know the process. My first instinct was it's not fair, but I did read that it was a double blind sort of assessment, so who knows. On the basis, it seems unfair.
You've been listening to some Australian tennis fans commenting on world number one Novak Djokovic receiving a medical exemption to compete in the Australian Open. Once again, the year's first major tennis tournament begins on January 17th in Melbourne. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors spread their wings and soared past the visiting San Antonio Spurs in Tuesday night NBA action. The final score from Toronto, Canada, Raptors 129, Spurs 104. Fred VanVleet scored 33 points for the Raptors, while Cameroonian star Pascal Siakam contributed 18 points and 12 rebounds. Toronto evened its record at 17 wins and 17 losses. San Antonio has 14 victories and 22 defeats. In a matchup between California-based teams, the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the visiting Sacramento Kings 122-114. Superstar LeBron James scored 14 of his game-high 31 points in the fourth quarter for the Lakers. One of the hottest teams in the NBA right now is the Memphis Grizzlies, who beat the host Cleveland Cavaliers by 4 points. The AP's Denny Kep reports.
The Grizzlies win their sixth straight, edging the Cavaliers 110-106. Ja Morant powered Memphis to the victory, scoring the final 8 points for the Grizzlies, including the go-ahead bucket with 29.9 seconds to go. The reigning Western Conference Player of the Week pays six Grizz in double figures with 26.
I feel like all my teammates, my coaches, you know, have that confidence and trust in me to be that guy to, you know, take those shots. And I've been delivering and, you know, making those shots as of late and helping us come out to win.
Cavs guard Darius Garland returned after missing four games while in the league's health and safety protocols. He notched a game-high 27 points to go with 10 assists.
I wasn't really fatigued until the fourth. The COVID started getting to me a little bit, I guess. But, I mean, other than that, I was fine. Just got to get back in some good condition.
Cleveland has now lost five of its last seven games. The Cavs head west for a six-game road trip. I'm Denny Kep.
And And that wraps up the January 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.